Tonight I want to speak on the subject, the attitude and lifestyle of the man of God. Now I'm very much aware that you're full. But just remember that it is scriptural that my cup runneth over. The thing I want to share with you tonight, as usual, will not be short. But I think it is simple. I think it's a simple truth. A simple application. Now, I may make it confusing, but just remember it's simple. When we end up, it'll be simple. Since Leela's homegoing, God has been teaching me a number of lessons. And one of the preeminent ones is this thought that thanksgiving is not a finger in the prayer hand. It's not a method of prayer. But thanksgiving is a style of life. Now, I'm only in the early process of changing my lifestyle in this regard. I believe that it is the lifestyle of the victorious Christian, the man of God. Now, what is thanksgiving? It comes from the root of the Greek word, which is the same word as for grace. It means being favorable to, a friendly disposition toward, a feeling of gratitude, which results in a graciousness. It's an expression of joy. It's to acknowledge with praise. It's to celebrate fully. I think that the best way I can describe this is when I had proposed to Leela, and we had been carrying on a correspondence for some months. And it was Christmas, and I was up in Tokyo. And I was sitting there, reading my Bible, doing a little Bible study, and I came across James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, which cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And I thought of the gift of my salvation. I thought of the spiritual gift and call of God to serve God with the navigators in the Orient. And this was not my own doing. It was just God's gracious gift to me. And naturally, I thought of Leela, and I thought, well, if God would give her to me, I don't deserve her. But it would just be a gift of his love and his mercy and his grace. And someone came up to me just at that moment and said, oh, I didn't know you were sitting here. This cable came for you a little while ago. And I thought, a cable for me? And I opened it up, and it said, love you dearly, yours for Christmas. Love you dearly, Leela. And the joy and the thanksgiving and the feelings that words cannot express. But each one of you men who are married know what I'm talking about. The moment she said yes, that gift from God. Leela was that to me, and still is. She was the earth's richest treasure to me. And Proverbs 31:29, where it says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Now, you may feel that way about your wife. I felt that way about mine. I had the opportunity to be with men of great wealth, men of considerable fame, especially in Christian circles. And yet, she was the apple of my eye. She was the treasure. And as long as I had her, you know, it didn't bother me what other men accomplished or what other men had. And then the Lord took her home. And I couldn't help but identify with Job in Job 1:21 and 22, where Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, I was willing to accept Leela's homegoing as from God, and quietly mourn to myself. My mind could accept. My faith could trust. But could my heart rejoice? Could my heart thank God? Well, it took some time for that to occur. And yet, as always, or as usual, the Lord uses His Word to convey a truth and to convey reality in the heart, in the inner life. And what I'm talking about tonight is a lifestyle of the inner life. Not the lifestyle that shows out in behavior patterns and disciplines and this type of thing, but I'm talking about the lifestyle of the man of God, the lifestyle of the inner life, which is thanksgiving. And in Psalm 107, 8 and 9, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Now, we can thank the Lord for His wonderful works to the children of men, you know, when He gives you that sweetheart, that gift from God. When He blesses in your ministry, the wonderful works to the children of men. You see God at work in men's lives, and they're bearing fruit and they're multiplying. But what about the difficult times? How to thank God in the difficulties? Well, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. The only thing I could praise God for was not that He took her, but that He was good. That God is good. That He's loving, that He's kind, that He's all wise. That He's so loving, He'll never do anything unkind, and He's so wise, He never makes a mistake. I could praise the Lord for His goodness. Sometimes God may put you in a situation where the only thing you can do is praise God for His goodness and take it by raw faith. And He has been satisfying the longing soul and filling the hungry soul with goodness. There's that word goodness again. And I've realized that the only one who can fill my soul and meet my need in this situation is God. I've had scores of people say, "Doug, is there something we can do?" But there's some things in life, men, that only God can do. Some needs that only God can meet. And He's doing that. And His wonderful works to the children of men. I'm just thrilled at what God is doing in my children's lives. Far from perfect. They've got the problems that teenagers have, but just to see their faith and their spiritual growth and their vitality and their resilience, his wonderful works to the children of men. And I just want to take time to thank you men for your prayers and for your love and for your concern. And he is satisfying. He is satisfying. Only God can satisfy. And I believe that God is sanctifying. And it's in times of trials that God satisfies and God sanctifies. A few years ago, Leela and the children and I went down to Spain for a holiday. A friend had given us his apartment. And the children were all but one could not swim. And so we had bought these armbands you blow with air, you know, and then they can paddle around the water. And we went down to the beach. And we got out there on the beach, and the children were afraid of the water, you know, and we got the armbands on them and got them paddling around. Finally, they'd float a little bit, you know, and kick their feet. And then we collected everything, and we got in the car, and off we went. We got back, and where were those armbands? And Leela remembered she had put them on the top of the car when she was packing other things. So she jumped in the car and she said, I'll go back and find them. And she was praying all the way she'd find those armbands. She never found them. She came back. Her eyes were red. She'd been crying. Oh, Lord, the whole swimming is ruined. We've lost those armbands. And yet it was that summer that all three, our youngest children, learned to swim. No armbands. They had to swim. And it was just a couple days and they were swimming. And one of the verses, well, the key verses, I think, to her, she was given these verses in January before we found out she had cancer. And she said, you know, darling, she said, I even dream about these verses. She said, I don't want to take these verses for the year, but I even dream about them. And they were Philip's translation of James 1, 2 through 4. When all kinds of trials and tribulations crowd into your lives, my brethren, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find you have become men of mature character with the right sort of independence. Are you praying for maturity? Are you praying for endurance? Are you praying for patience? Well, if so, you're asking God to bring trials into your life. Are you praying to be a man of God? That is a costly prayer. There is no easy road to the road of maturity. Besides satisfying and sanctifying, he's revealing himself to me in a greater measure. Paul said, Philippians 3:8 in the Amplified, yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And I've been praying Since the Lord took Leela, I've been praying, well, Lord, I want you to fill that emptiness. I want you to become more real to me. And when Paul prayed this morning for me, I couldn't help but think of the last DD conference. And that was, you know, a rather traumatic conference for most everybody, because Lauren was reworking his organizational chart. And everybody was kind of wondering what was going to happen to them. And in those situations, there's always a lot of introspection. And you know, you kind of wonder, well, am I a failure, or am I a success, or am I doing my job right, or aren't I? And so on. A lot of these ideas, you know, flood our minds that have nothing to do with the organizational chart that the president's working out, but, you know, they're just our own subjective feelings. And you know, it was a wonderful spirit there, but there was a lot of inner emotional tensions that men were facing. And just around the end of the conference, the fellows began talking about, boy, I'm going back to my wife. Well, that was one of the hardest times for me since Leela's gone, because I realized I didn't have her to go back. But if I want to know the Lord, I've got to learn how to come to Him with my inner tensions and my emotional difficulties and my insecurities, and not just find the answer from my wife in a temporary way, but to find the reality of Christ meeting those needs in my own heart, in my own life. There is no substitute for Jesus Christ. So in one sense, it might even be easier for me now to seek Christ and find Him meeting my inner needs than it might be if Leela were still here. Well, this question of thanksgiving, I'm just going to give you a couple of references and not read them. Colossians 2, 6, and 7, which you know. But it's interesting that it's speaking of receiving Christ and living in Christ and rooted and built up in Christ. And then, as you were taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The outflow of our abiding in Christ, our receiving Christ, our being rooted in Christ, should come with thanksgiving. And when we don't overflow with thanksgiving, it probably is that we're not rooted and built up in Christ as we should be. He is not meeting the inner needs of our lives. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, and be ye thankful. The overflow. Thanksgiving is an overflow of the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with thankfulness, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Colossians 3, 16. First Thessalonians 5, 18. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, there are certain verses, you know, that remind you of certain people. This verse reminds me of Doss and Lila Trotman. I remember how they used to use it so much. And the things that Doss went through, poison letters, mimeographed and sent out to all Christian leaders. He had to learn the lesson. In everything, give thanks. And a child not developed. In everything, give thanks. And the various trials that he and Lila went through. And I remember one of the questions they would ask a person when they were really going through a rough time. Have you thanked the Lord? Have you thanked the Lord? Because if you haven't thanked the Lord, you haven't taken the first step. Why does it say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? Why? Because this is the test of your submission and trust in the sovereign Lord. Thanksgiving is the spiritual barometer of your life. It's the way to judge whether your spiritual life is advancing or slipping. The way in which, with more calmness and thankfulness in the midst of all the disturbances and troubles of life, you can say, thank you, Lord, with a smile. Thank you, Lord, with a gracious spirit. Don Miller is a tremendous challenge to me in this. Just the way in which he is trusting in the sovereignty of God over his illness, that of his children. I used to get up real tight about personnel problems. And now I can just, you know, there's a personnel problem. Thank you, Lord. I guess you have some things to do in that man's life, in that regional director's life who's trying to help him, or that AD who's trying to help him, or in my life. Thank you, Lord, for that problem, for what that fellow's struggling with. Welcome that as a friend, because it will produce mature character, endurance, the right sort of independence. And it gives me the opportunity to see the power of God in answer to prayer. Because, men, you can't solve anybody's problem. Only the Holy Spirit can solve that problem in answer to prayer. I believe in miracles. Yeah, I believe in the greatest miracles of all. The miracles of God solving problems in men's lives. That's a greater miracle than healing in cancer. Well, why do I call this a spiritual barometer? Because one, it tests your faith. Whether you can be positive, joyful, trusting in problems. And two, it tests your submission to God. How do you respond in an adverse circumstance? Not only the big crises that I've shared with you, but the little adversities of life. The ones that interfere with your objectives. The little needling adversities. Now, we're highly motivated to accomplish our objectives. But what happens when circumstances come into your home with your wife or your children that hinder you from reaching your objectives? That irritate you? I have very few regrets when I look back over our marriage. But this is one of them. This is one of them. If I had it to do over again, I would just say, thank you, Lord. Set the objective aside. Trust God. And be more help to my wife. Be more of an encouragement to my wife. And when the Lord takes her, then that's it. You can't do it then. Man, you can only do it now. And those kids. What disturbs us is not adverse circumstances, but our attitude toward them. This is the true source of anxieties which wear us to fatigue. More than a conqueror through Christ is a man who does not let the adverse circumstances trouble him. Some of these more than conquerors were slaughtered and tortured. But they were more than a conqueror because of their attitude in the adverse circumstance. I feel that one of the reasons a couple years ago I was fatigued in my job was simply because I wasn't able to thank God for the administrative load that I had to carry. All the paperwork, all the things that seemed to keep me from doing what I wanted to do, get out in the areas with the men, have more interaction like we've had this week. Maybe it was just poor organization on my part, but my fatigue was due to the fact that I resisted the administrative load, the paperwork, instead of thanking God for it. Leela went through considerable fatigue. And looking back at it, it was her self-pity which she would share with me because of all the housework she had to do. And you know, we go through life just murmuring about all the little things that we have to do, feeling sorry for ourselves. And it wears us down. And the reason behind it is, basically, it is our resistance to the sovereign will of God in daily circumstances. It is our resistance to the sovereign will of God in daily circumstances. We do not trust Him. We are not submitted to Him. And with leaders, this becomes more of an acute problem. Because, see, you're a leader. You're the one who's going to control the circumstances in your area. And when circumstances come in that you can't control, it really upsets us. Unless we are victorious, unless we're on top, unless we have this lifestyle of thanksgiving. And just a word of warning here. It was Israel resisting the providential circumstances in the wilderness. Their murmuring, their unthankfulness, which God said, I can't fulfill my promises to you. I'm waiting for another generation. Unthankfulness is not being surrendered to God in His sovereign choices. But there's another thing about Thanksgiving. It's a builder of character. And I think it's important. And this is one of the things that I've realized through what I've gone through the last year. The world is not so much a place of doing things as developing character. It's more important what we are, men, than what we do or say. It's more important to be a genuine man of God than it is to do great things for God. God can do anything, but you can't be anything. And God's preparing us for eternity as living stones. And I just have to let my memory flash back over the last year. And I can see that God was preparing Leela to be that living stone in his eternal habitat, his eternal habitation. And that's what God's doing for us, preparing us. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We're like Abraham, living in tents, looking to that city whose builder and maker is God. And we are living stones in that city. And where does God build this character? First and foremost, he builds it in the drudgeries, the common tasks of life. He builds that character in the paperwork that we require of you men, in those jobs around the house, and keeping good records on finances, and helping the wife with the kids, and having your plans changed because of a phone call or a knock on the door, and accepting it with thanksgiving and a smile. A smile in your voice when you answer the phone and you hear that person and you know that this might just change your little plan for the evening. And yet you can say, thank you, Lord, and you can be warm and positive in your voice to that person. Doing any kind of work unwillingly and with complaint and murmuring is sin. Disobedience to God. And it hinders the development of your character. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. That's the negative side. The positive side, Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatsoever. Man, we can't hide behind the excuse. It's not the ministry. There is a mentality that I think is dangerous. I'm not going to get involved in Mickey Mouse. I'm going to get involved in the ministry. Well, if it's just Mickey Mouse, okay. But if it's just being a faithful person, husband, father, responsible in the paperwork that's required of you, whatever, that's the ministry. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. So first, character is developed in the routine circumstances in life. And second, it's developed in the stormy crises of life. And oftentimes these crises are imaginary, but they're very real. They're very real to you. Things are seldom as dark as we think they are. or as big as we think they are. And I've never been one that's worried much about physical ailments in the past, whether they be mine or others. But a few weeks ago, my daughter Karen was having back trouble, and so we sent her to a specialist and had her x-rayed. And one day, the doctor's secretary called, and she said, "Mr. Sparks, the doctor has the x-rays, and he would like to see you and talk to you concerning your daughter and her back." Fear gripped my heart, cancer of the bone. And I said, "Fine, can I come and see him today?" "Oh, I'm sorry, he's busy for the next couple days. Could you see him on Wednesday?" And I lived in a cold sweat for a couple days until I got it settled in my heart. "Lord, if you're going to take her, thank you. You're good, you know what you're doing." And I went there, and there was a good report. About a week later, I was having pains in my chest, and my left arm was almost limp, pains in my left arm. And I thought, "Man, am I getting a heart attack?" So I go to the doctor, and they take an x-ray and check me out. No, nothing wrong. But there's so many fears and anxieties. They're the real crises in life, but they're also the fears. And I'm sure that any of you who've been in the Navigators very long, you've experienced what I've experienced. Having the, you know, wondering what the leadership thinks of you. And whether they're just kind of trying to kind of, you know, ease your side. Or what? You know? I've gone through that. Feeling I was misunderstood, criticized, not appreciated, you know, kind of in the way. And, kind of meddling now, huh? Well, how do we get over these things? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "The Lord is near. Have no anxiety. But in everything, make your requests known to God in prayer and petition with what? With thanksgiving." And then the peace of God comes. This exercise of faith and submission develops character. It stabilizes our emotions. It makes us a man who is stable, stability, trustful, peaceful, joyful, enthusiastic, patient, strong, enduring, faithful, regardless of the circumstances. It provides a consistency of life because a man lives by 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. For you to become the man of God that God wills you to be." This is the simple formula. See, I said it's going to be simple. I might make it complicated, but it's going to be simple. In everything give thanks. And I've seen the tragedy of the unthankful. The wounded spirit, the touchy spirit, the person who maybe he's been unjustly treated in life. But boy, how touchy. Or how resentful. It was just about a year ago that a lady who Leela had led to Christ, she first led her daughter to Christ, and the mother was very antagonistic, and then Leela won the mother over and won her to the Lord. And she had a sister. And this sister had a child who had died. I forget the circumstances, but very suddenly, very unexpectedly. And the sister and her husband had been very bitter, just full of self-pity. And she was wondering if Leela and I could come over to dinner and just talk to them and share with them, because Leela had cancer and she thought, you know, it might help them. So we did. I was able to get through to the husband, but I couldn't get through to the wife. She was so resentful for God taking her precious child, so full of self-pity, that I concluded she was the greatest tragedy, far greater tragedy than the child dying. And God was so faithful, you know, to give an experience like that, because at the time we didn't think the Lord was going to take Leela. But just to give an experience, to realize the greatest tragedy is a person who cannot thank God. And Thanksgiving is the beautiful climate of service. Point number five. The beautiful climate of service. When we first came to England, we had a girl who came to live in our home and help with the children. And we found, though we had been in the Netherlands and we seemed to find the adjustment very easy in the Netherlands, that maybe it's because we were a little older and the children and all, but we found that that first year or so in Britain was really a difficult year. We were in low spirits, both Leela and I. And we'd turn on some Christian music, you know, and we'd just love the song, "It's Not an Easy Road," you know. And we'd go around the house singing, "It's Not an Easy Road." And we were just so low that this girl, we've had 20-some girls in our home. We've only had one leave thinking, "Oh, what a terrible experience." That was the one. That year. Because you communicate. If you cannot thank God joyfully and enthusiastically about your lot in life, you are communicating your lack of faith. And you're lowering people's view of God. And it's unkind to communicate our low spirits to others, because it communicates a low opinion of our sovereign Lord, and it dampens and weakens their faith. But look at that from the other side. You have lost your leadership when you can't thank God. You are no longer the leader in the circumstance or the situation which you're in. You have lost your leadership to the people around you because you're not communicating your faith, your trust, and your submission to God. And some men who can only see the dark side of things. We need to see the dark side. But over-communicate the dark side of things. Their leadership is very, very wobbly, because they're making everybody around them very wobbly. But when you have an attitude of thanksgiving, you transmit faith and enthusiasm and lift people right up to the very presence of God. But we do need to share the dark side with someone, certainly with the Lord. But the Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." But just be careful who you choose to bear your burden with. Choose the person who can thank God for the burden. Don't go to the person who's just going to wallow with you in self-pity. But go to the person who can lift your spirits to thank God. And then, this is the climate, you see, of Christian service. And it relates not only to your attitude toward the Lord, but your attitude of thankfulness toward others. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Giving of thanks be made for all men. The greatest compliment you can give a person, boy, I thank God for you. I'm just so thankful for you. My wife, and tonight I'm just kind of opening my heart a little bit more on Leela to you men. But this was a quality of her life. Whether it was a hairdresser, the woman in the grocery store that she brought the groceries and paid, or the lady who worked in the home, or the neighbors, or whoever, she had a way, she was just so thankful for everybody. And at her funeral, there was Mrs. Astor and very wealthy ladies. There were scrub women and a hairdresser and this, that, a seamstress. Every walk of life. Some knew the Lord, some didn't. But they all knew she liked them and was thankful for them. And the Bible says we should give thanks for all men. It's an attitude, it's a lifestyle. What cheers you up? Well, what cheers you up in the Navigators? Well, when you know that your boss and your fellow workers are really thankful for you. Not whether you succeed, but whether you're appreciated. Not how high you perform, but how much you're loved. And this is a rebuke to me. I was talking to Kent just a couple weeks ago, and we were just riding along in the car, and for some reason he was asking me, well, Dad, something about the RDs or something. I forget exactly what it was. And out of the conversation, I just said, well, Kent, I'm wanting to work on some things in my leadership. Do you have any suggestions? And he said, well, I hope you don't mind me saying this, Dad. But he said, when you can, when the men really do a good job, if you can just sincerely express your appreciation and thanks for them and what they do, he says, that means so much. Especially, if you respect. And he says, I appreciate it if you do that a little bit with me, too. And here I had been praying. Now, Lord, he's a little insecure. And a lot of his cockiness is not being really cocky. It's being insecure. Lack of self-confidence. And, Lord, what can I do, to kind of build that confidence? And I find my problem usually is, you did that wrong. This. And as parents, we can get so picky, We're just every little thing. And we can do that in the Navigators, thinking that's training men. Every little thing I'm going to get for you. But what is it that builds up character, self-confidence. Paul was a master at this. Oh, yes, he did move in on needs, but on major needs, the important things. And if we go in on an important thing, let's be sure it's so important we're going to follow through on it and not just mention it and go on. But Paul did far more encouraging than correcting, I think. For example, in Philippians 1, 3 through 5, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy. You're terrific. I appreciate you so much. It's a way of life. And it's the outflow of the man who can be thanking God for the circumstances, learns how to thank God for the people. It builds self-confidence and God-confidence. Thanksgiving builds self-confidence and God-confidence. And I don't know there's much else that does. At least this to me is key. Thanksgiving builds self-confidence and God-confidence. Boy, if we can build those two things in men, we're moving. But it does take sacrifice. Sacrifice on our part. The Bible talks about this. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. One of the old saints, Arthur P. Stanley, wrote this. And this talks about a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And it's not only the fruit of the lips, but he describes it more like the style of a life. Now, notice what he says. That is what our sacrifice of ourselves should be, full of life. Not desponding, morbid, morose, not gloomy, chilly, forbidding, not languid, indolent, inactive, but full of life and warmth and energy, cheerful, and making others cheerful, gay, and making others gay, happy, and making others happy, contented, making others contented, doing good, and making others do good, by our lively, vivid vitality, filling every corner of our souls and bodies, filling every corner of the circle in which we move, with the fresh lifeblood of a warm, genial, kindly Christian heart. Doubtless this requires a sacrifice. It requires us to give up our own comfort, our own ease, our own firesides, or TV sets, I imagine you'd say today, our dear solitude, our own favorite absorbing pursuits, our shyness, our reserve, our pride, our selfishness. Well, Thanksgiving, how does it become our lifestyle? Well, I referred to this early in the message. It comes by abiding in Christ, being rooted and grounded in him, abounding therein with thanksgiving. It's being filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 5, you read about be filled with the Spirit, and then what do you see? Giving thanks for everything. It is a supernatural work by the indwelling Christ, the indwelling Spirit in our lives. It's not engaging the mind and the mouth with thanksgiving over every detail of the day, but it's an attitude of the mind and the heart. entrusting oneself to God, His love, His care, His protection, His indwelling, resting in the conscious joy of being kept by God when we cannot keep ourselves. There are two great philosophies of life. One, be strong. You can do it. If you just think you can, if you just develop the right self-image, you can do it. Think you are and you will be. You are the master of your circumstances. You can do it. I think it was, is it Joe Foreman, the new world champ? George Foreman. Thank you, George. George Foreman and Joe Frazier. And after the fight, they were asking George, you know, how he became world champ. You just believe you can do it, and you work at it, and you believe you can do it, and you can do it. Well, I sure wouldn't want to meet George Foreman in the ring by just believing I could do it and working at it and then go in and meet him. Thank you. No. It's Christ is the master of my circumstances. Christ is the master of my character. Christ is the master of my life. Christ is my sovereign Lord. Christ rules over me. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Christ lives in me. Christ rules in my heart. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Christ who infuses inner strength in me. That is, I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Philippians 4:13. I can't. Christ can. I'm natural. I'm a sinner. My heart is impure. So how can I purely love Him? Only by His supernatural work of grace in my heart. Only by His life in me. And so how is simple. He's my sovereign Lord who rules and reigns over me, who rules and reigns in me. He alone controls the circumstances. He alone can control my emotions and help me give thanks unto God. So, thanksgiving is the lifestyle of the man of God. We talk about changing one's lifestyle. Well, I want to change my inner lifestyle. I don't know that I can do a lot to change my outer lifestyle. I wish I could, but, you know, I don't see much progress there. If you can help me, I appreciate all the help I can get. But I do want to change my inner lifestyle. An attitude of thanksgiving in every circumstance. And to take these two verses as a consistent part of my life. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, in His authority, in His name, in His power, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, by Christ, living in me and reigning in my life. Shall we pray? Father, I do ask that you will help me to be more appreciative
your sovereignty, of every circumstance you bring in my life, of every test and trial, large and small, imaginary or real, that I may be more than a conqueror through Christ, rising above the circumstances into the heavenlies to praise and thank you, to trust and submit to you, to grow and develop into a man of God, to have the spiritual climate of thanksgiving, trust and confidence and submission to God, appreciation of all men, and especially those of the household of faith and those fellow soldiers, companions in labors, and dear brothers who are yoked together under the call of God in this ministry. Lord, I thank you for each man here. And Lord, I just pray that you will give me a greater liberty in the Spirit to genuinely express the deep appreciation down in my heart for each man. For my son, my daughters, my boy. Help us, Lord, in these things. We know that it must come from Thee, your great love, your great understanding. And so we thank you that this is not our battle alone, but that it is the work of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Christ in us. And we just depend on him and ask him to make our lifestyle that of praise and thanksgiving, regardless of good or evil circumstances that flood into our lives. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.